Hi everyone, welcome to our service. I know this is a trying times, okay? I want to greet every one of you, okay, wherever you are. You know, today we're going to start a new series, and I'm going to call it Familyhood. Now, what does that mean? The goal is that I want to look at different stages of each and every one when we grew up. How was it like, all right? Which means when we look into the Bible, how childhood should be, you know, as well as singlehood, as well as fatherhood, motherhood, parenthood, and so on. Now, last month, we have Mother's Day. I have Ida to speak on for motherhood, which she talked about the perspective of a mom. So in this series, Familyhood, we're going to do a four-part series. Okay, today, I'm going to talk about childhood. Next week, singlehood. And then fatherhood, that part three will be a Father's Day, and we're going to have Pastor Charles Curtis, okay, speaking, okay, from US. And then part four, we're going to do parenthood. Teresa Low from Every Nation Church Malaysia, okay, will be speaking that. You know, if you are a child, you're probably thinking about Red Riding Hood, but the rest probably thinking about Robin Hood. Okay, just kidding. Now, we're going to look at this passage of the Bible, but I'm going to start reading Luke chapter 2, verse 52, that says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men." Let us pray. Father God, I commit all of us into your hands, even in this season of lockdown and wherever we are, okay, with our family. Probably it's a time, Lord, that each and every one of us, okay, rebuild and better, Lord God, our relationship with one another. I commit all of us into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray. Everyone say, amen. All right. Now, isn't it true that we grew up, okay, differently? Okay, in the sense that our family background, okay, the place that we grew up, culture, and all that are so different, okay, in that sense. For some may live luxuriously even before they are born. Car was already ready for them, a bungalow is ready for them, okay, money, okay, and everything you can name it, any adult would want to have. But at the baby stage, they already have all those. For some may live just barely surviving, and some probably live just moderately, okay, just enough to live by. What about you? How is your childhood like? How did you grow up, okay, as one as you are today? I believe that every one of us have your own set of story. Now, let me ask you, have you heard about this man by the name of John Newton? Give you a few seconds to think. Who was John Newton? John Newton is the one who wrote the hymn, Amazing Grace. Now, little that we know, okay, that he's the story behind how he wrote, okay, the hymn, Amazing Grace. Now, he was only a child. He was the only child who lost his mother when he was 7. But at age 11, he went to see, okay, as a sailor and became involved in human African slave trade. He was soon hardened by his surrounding. He outdid his companions in morality, vulgarity, blasphemy against God. But the turning point came right now. That was when he was age 23. His ship was caught in the severe storm. When he thought his life was in danger, he cried out to God for mercy. He was marvelously saved, not wanting to ever forget the grace of God who saved him from the depth of his sin. He wrote this song, Amazing Grace, that many of us universally, right, we sang Amazing Grace. What a lovely song. Now, as for me, okay, I grew up in a town called Telok Anson. Okay, later the name was changed to Telok Intan. Okay, my father was a school principal. My mom, okay, was a homemaker. You know, life wasn't that easy because at a very young age of 7, 6, 7, at that time, my parents were separated. You know, as we grow in that sense, especially when we come to our exam year, you know, we lost, okay, the home, okay, that we've been living since I was born. Okay, my other brother was going for his STPM. I'm going for my SPM. My late sister was going for her SRP, and my youngest brother was only about 10, you know. And we do not have much, but we were very happy, okay. We enjoyed every bit of our childhood, okay, those days, and although we suffered and was having lack. But everything changed when we come, okay, to know our Lord and Savior. All right. I believe all of you have a set of story. I'm just sharing, okay, a bit of what, okay, my childhood was. Now, the quick question was, what would you like to be when you grow up? If you were to ask any young, okay, person, probably the person's answer will be probably become doctor, engineer, okay, lawyer, teacher, and so on and so on. But if I were to ask anyone, okay, what would you like to be when you grow up, okay, in terms of being a believer of Jesus Christ? Now, many answers that I will receive will be, okay, people will tell me that, Pastor, I want to grow up to be like Jesus. Wow, okay, that's interesting. But do you really want to grow like Jesus? Oh, that will be the second question. Okay, the thing is this, how many of you knew how did Jesus grow up as a child? How did Jesus grow up as a child? Now, when you look at Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 2, that is the story of Christmas. Okay, the story of Christmas that you learn about, okay, the account of the virgin birth of Jesus. And then when Jesus was born, it was during the Roman Empire. All right, where that was a time in the days of Herod the king, where he ordered killing, okay, all the male children in Bethlehem and in all region, and for those 2 years and under. So how many of us really want to grow like Jesus? All right, and with that sense, I believe that, okay, many of us do not know that kind of environment, okay, that Jesus grew up as. Now, for some reason, okay, the years where the birth of Jesus Christ, beginning of the early ministry, okay, at about age 30, was referred as the silent year. We do not hear much, okay, about that. For some reason, only known by God. Now, in that sense, all right, and we do not know exactly what happened during those, okay, were silent years until Jesus reached, okay, his manhood. Now, when you think about those stories in Matthew chapter 1 and 2, where Herod the king killed, okay, all child that's age 2 and below. I was trying to picture how was Jesus' life be. You know, you imagine when he go to his, attend to his school for the first day, and you realize that, there's not many people in his class. Why? Because many of those who was of his age was being killed, all right? He would not have much friends, okay, in his time. But approximately age 2 to 30, very little was being known. But in a passage of Luke chapter 2, relate to the story, okay, of where Jesus was when he was age 12. Okay, this is where we want to explore the best way to learn about childhood. Probably look at the childhood of Jesus Christ. All right, now, let us explore chapter 2 of book of Gospel Luke, verse 39, okay, to 52. How, okay, did Jesus grow up as a child? Okay, let's look at verse 39 and 40. Okay, that says this. Okay, when Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to the old town of Nazareth, and the child grew, okay, and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. So over these two verses, we actually discover quite a lot of things, okay, about, okay, Jesus, all right? Now, so I want to encourage all of us, as we talk about the life of Jesus or the child of Jesus, probably many of us could relate, or probably you would think about, wow, probably that is the childhood I always want to be, all right? Now, let's look at these two verses. We will discover a number of things. Number one, Jesus had early parents. Okay, their names are none other than Joseph and Mary, all right? Now, number two, okay, Jesus grew up in Nazareth. Okay, that is a city, one of the cities in Israel. Okay, 3 years ago, Mio and myself, we have opportunity to be in the Holy Land. So I've been to, okay, the town called Nazareth. Now, let me tell you that Jesus, although was Jesus born, okay, in the little town called Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth. All right, so in this Nazareth, okay, that's where Jesus learned, okay, his early childhood. Now, if you were to trace Matthew chapter 2, verse 23, okay, that says that, all right, he went and lived in the city called Nazareth, so that was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled that he would be called a Nazarene. That's why sometimes when you read the Bible, Jesus Nazareth, why? Well, I thought he was born in Bethlehem. Okay, it's one of the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. Okay, when he went to live in Nazareth, it's when Okay, the death of Herod, okay, has taken place. Okay, Joseph and Mary came back, okay, to the land. Okay, that's where they moved to Nazareth. Now, after Nazareth, Jesus lived in Capernaum. All right, now, where can we find that? That is Matthew chapter 4, verse 13 to 14. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, if you were to go to Israel, the town called Capernaum, okay, you have a signboard that says the town of Jesus, all right? Why? Because practically every ministry that Jesus did was circled around the town of Capernaum. So every pilgrims, okay, that visit the Holy Land, okay, will want to visit the town of Capernaum in order to walk, okay, the steps, okay, of the ministry of Jesus. Okay, number three, what else can we discover? That is, Jesus grew. Okay, Jesus grew. In other words, he did not remain, okay, as a baby. Now, verse 40 says, the child grew. I want you to take note about this. The child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom and the grace of God was on him. So, in other words, Jesus grew physically, strong, okay, intellectually, okay, smart, and grew spiritually, okay, strong. So, in other words, in all this childhood, Jesus grew maturely, okay, as any other child. I believe all of us also want to grow, okay, maturely well, all right, physically, okay, intellectually, and spiritually strong. So, in other words, we want to say thank to the father of Jesus, Joseph and Mary, okay, for teaching Jesus how to walk, to talk, to read, and to work, okay, during his childhood. Okay, the last thing we can discover about this passage is that Jesus had a normal childhood. Why do I say that? Okay, I want to draw your attention to Mark chapter 6, verse 34. That is, in verse 3, that says, when the people questioned Jesus, all right, they said this, is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sister here with us? And they took offense at him, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not with honor, okay, except in his hometown and among his relatives and his own household. You know what can we discover here? We discover that, hey, Jesus had brothers. Okay, his brothers are James, okay, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And Jesus has sisters as well. All right, and Jesus has a hometown, he has a relative, okay, and so on. And in fact, okay, in this verse says that Jesus has a job. Okay, he has a trade that's what called carpenter, okay, because he said, is not this the carpenter, all right? So, Jesus actually grew up, okay, normal, okay, as anyone, okay, of us. Now, let's move on to the next passage. The next passage about the story of Joseph and Mary, okay, how, okay, the only account, okay, about Jesus at the age of 12. Now, let me read that in verse 41 to verse 42, and let us explore a bit more, okay, of the childhood of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So you can understand, okay, the scenario that is Joseph and Mary bring Jesus, okay, to this festival called Passover every year, annually. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, and as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it. So, all you to take note just now was the child Jesus. Now is the boy Jesus. All right. Now, continue reading. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. Now, this is a very interesting account, okay, of the parent Joseph, okay, and Mary. I do not know many of you who are parents, if you were to lose your child, what would you do, all right? Now, over here, Joseph and Mary were stressed, okay, over the loss, okay, of Jesus. Now, with this story of Joseph and Mary, we can learn a bit more, okay, that is that they go to Jerusalem once a year. I do not know how you feel. I believe that Jesus longed, okay, to go for this trip. Many of our childhood will be like every year we'll be thinking about whether our parents will take us to Disneyland or take us to Genting or take us to Cameron. But I believe for Jesus will be his longing to go, okay, to Jerusalem. All right, now. So reading that, what can I discover the story of Mary and Joseph and Mary is that in verse 43, It seems like Joseph and Mary left Jesus behind. It seems like supposedly lost Jesus, all right? And Joseph and Mary looking for Jesus in all places and couldn't find Jesus in that moment, all right, now. Let's continue to read verse 46. Interestingly, how it was written now. Verse 46 says, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answer. So by the time Joseph and Mary found Jesus, friends, more or less 5 days already passed, because 1 day to travel back, okay, to their hometown and couldn't find Jesus, it would take them 1 day to come back to Jerusalem. And then the Bible says after 3 days, they found him at the temple. We also do not know how many days taken, okay, to go to various places in order to find, okay, Jesus. All right, now, we got to know a bit of a background at the age of 12 for Jesus. What does that mean? Why the Bible write, okay, about Jesus at age 12 and not any other age? Let me say this. We got to know a bit of the Jewish culture. Age 12 is a very important year for every Jewish child. Now, it is called Bar Mitzvah. Okay, many of us do not know about that, but you can read a bit more, all right? So, in the Jewish culture, a boy or a girl, okay, which is under 12 years old, they under the control, okay, or the commandment or whatever discipline, okay, under, okay, his father. So Jesus at age 12, it was the moment for him that is in the Jewish culture is Bar Mitzvah. What does that mean? Okay, it will be a ceremony for this child at age 12 becoming, okay, what they call the son of the law or the son of the commandment. Okay, what does that mean? It means this, okay, it means that at this age, they are regarded as ready to observe religious precepts, which means bear their own responsibility for Jewish ritual, law, tradition, and ethics, and eligible to take part in public worship. So in other words, all their growing up to the age of 12, they are to recite, they are to memorize the first 5 books of the Bible. They call it the Torah, okay? They are to memorize them. You know, when I was in the Holy Land, okay, and at the Wailing Wall and at that place, wow, I just couldn't imagine, all right? They just spend the whole day, the whole morning, whole afternoon, they just there reciting, okay, and memorize, okay, the scripture. Everyone, okay, who is there, all right, I was just amazed, okay, by their dedication. Of course, it's a lot of ritual, okay, that's taking place. So what can we understand here, all right, now? Jesus at the age of 12. Let me share with you a bit of this so that we can relate. Okay, now, number one, at the age 12, Jesus is transitioning to adulthood. So for all of us, okay, who are parents, or for any one of us, if an individual, okay, as parents, what are you preparing your children for as they grow? Okay, what are you preparing them? Maturity, to be responsible, okay, for their life and to take responsibility for the things that they do. You know, each time my conversation with me and my wife is that while our children are growing, okay, they must be found responsible. Okay, they got to do their own homework, they got to prepare their school bag, you know, wash their own shoes and get themselves prepared, all right, rather than we all preparing for them. Okay, we got to see that they are responsible. So parents, okay, question that we got to ask, do we allow our children to make decisions on their own? Okay, as young as they are, okay, if you can, allow them, okay, to grow, allow them to take responsibilities, okay, of their own stuff, okay, unless, okay, they are disobedient or they go wayward, all right? So take note about that. Number two, okay, I would say that Jesus' parents trusted him. So giving you the background, in other words, he has come to a point where when they are going back, why Jesus is lost, why Jesus is missing? Friends, their culture is such when they travel in a group. Okay, children are by themselves. Okay, parents were sitting by themselves as they travel. Now, remember, Jesus is not alone. He has brothers. By that time, he has brothers, he has sisters, and probably cousins. Okay, they will be together and playing. All right, so sometimes I try to remember my younger days. All right, as young as I am, okay, my mom had already sent me to the market. okay, to buy vegetables or buy groceries and all those, all right? And I remember those days when I was young, already cycling to school, okay? 3 miles to school, 3 miles back, you know, sometimes tire punctured. So what do? Okay, I will go along with a bike, walking, okay, a few miles to find, okay, a bicycle shop to repair, okay? Number three, I would say that Jesus amazed all those, okay, around him, because by the time when the parents, okay, of Joseph, Joseph and Mary found Jesus, what happened, it was in verse 46, okay, after 3 days they found him what? Sitting among the teachers, okay, listening to them and asking them questions. And verse 47 tells me that when all of them heard Jesus, they were amazed at his understanding of his answers. I do not know about you. When you are a child, when you are doing anything, all right, will you want to amaze, okay, those around you, or things that you are so natural that you are doing, and those who are above you will just amaze, okay, by your gesture, okay, by things that you are doing. So I sometimes when I read this passage, I always wonder, what did Jesus ask them? I believe Jesus' ministry already began. He knew that he's the Messiah. So at this point, he already started questioning all these teachers of the law, okay, what they believe and what they are doing, all right? That's where, okay, all of them who heard him was amazed of his understanding and his answer. I believe during the time, Jesus was testing, okay, all of them, all right? Now, number four, I would say Jesus stayed obedient even if the parents find that he lost and couldn't find him and probably was angry. Okay, in verse 48, okay, says here, when his parents saw him, okay, they were astonished, and the mother said this, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. Sometimes I think about it, any parents will be distressed. Okay, Sometimes I have occasion when I bring my eldest son, okay, for shopping, okay, or some tourist place. We literally lost him, okay, in that sense. You know how distressed, okay, Mio and myself. Of course, we found him, all right, now. In verse 51, that says, and after that, Jesus went down, okay, with them and came to Nazareth. So returned together with the parents, okay, which means Jesus stay submissive, stay obedient, all right? And was submissive to them, and his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. Let me tell you, every parent will remember every single thing, okay, the child, okay, did or does. All right, now, number five. When we read verse 49 and 50, Jesus knew where he belonged, all right, now, because this is the reply that he said. He said this to the parents, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. So in other words, I would say that I believe Jesus all along that he knew that he needed, okay, to be in his father's house. I don't know, when you are growing up, do you know where you need to be? You know where you got to be at the right place at the right time? Okay, I was saying just now, probably what all of us want to be at the mall, okay, we want to go to Disneyland, we want to go all these exciting places, all right? But as for Jesus, all right, he said that he needed, okay, to be in his father's house, all right? Now, sometimes I hear stories about, like, okay, children are getting ready, okay, to go to church, but the parents are not. Okay, I remember the days when my child growing up, you know, I can remember, the closest, of course, I remember Deborah. When Deborah was growing up, sending her to the kids, okay, she was so excited that she able to go to kids, okay, already, all right, and she's the first one to get ready. When we are not ready, okay, she was angry. Why are you not ready? Because she wanting to go, okay, for her kids, all right, the best exciting time, okay, for them. So we all said that, right? So my question about childhood will be, when we talk about, hey, so you want to grow up like Jesus, so how do you want to grow up like Jesus? So I want to look at this passage once again. Okay, that is Luke chapter 2, verse 52. How should you grow like, okay, Jesus? Let me say, you can grow in four ways, okay, like Jesus. What are they? Okay, in verse 52 says, and Jesus increased. This time we read in earlier verses, Jesus grew, the child Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor. But in verse 52, it says Jesus increased. So Jesus does not remain as a child, okay? He has increased, okay, in these four areas, okay? Just quickly, what does that mean? Number one, when talk about wisdom, Jesus grew in wisdom means he grew intellectually, okay? Do you know that the first school that you attend is not your kindergarten or your nursery or your primary school? That was not your first school, all right? And probably when you go to kindergarten, oh, this is my teacher. Friends, let me tell you, your first teacher is none other than your own father and mother, all right? That is where you learn how to say sorry to your brother. That's how you learn how to share. That's where you learn how to take bath. That's where you learn how to eat properly, all right? So your father and mother was the first teacher. So above all those is that when he grew in wisdom, you think about it, Jesus will have grown in character and value. So for all of us in growing, okay, whatever age you are, okay, young and old, are you growing in wisdom, in terms of character, in terms of value? Okay, what you want to grow, all right? Now, number two, in stature, that is physical, all right? Physically, Jesus grows strong physically. Now, isn't it interesting or incredible to think Jesus, the Almighty God, need to exercise and eat healthily? You think about it, all right? Now, or I probably would think when he was a child, will he tell his mother, okay, saying, I don't want to eat that broccoli. What do you all think? All right. Now, and probably he also grew up playing with his friends, his brothers and sisters playing football. I don't know whether it's at badminton that time. All right, probably not, okay. And probably playing computer games. Of course, no computer games. Okay, many of us, instead of playing football, basketball, or whatever it is, okay, many young people now are stuck with Nintendo, Sony PlayStation, okay, these online games and so on. Okay, but what do you think about Jesus growing physically? I believe he has six packs. Why do I say so? Now, they grew in the stage where they were fishermen, and for Jesus, he's a carpenter, all right? Jesus probably being a fisherman as well, all right? Now, remember those days, they don't have motorboat. They don't have engine. They row their boat, all right? Now, they got to let go the heavy nets and pull in the nets, mending the nets. Friends, in order to do so, you will have strong arms, all right? Now, those days when I growing up and I was in USA, I wanted to learn how to swim. You know, I hear all the girls were saying they love to see all these life coaches. Okay, life coaches, that means lifesaver, all right, in the swimming pool. Why? Because they flex the muscle, they swim, they have broad shoulders but very thin legs. All right. Jesus was a carpenter. Also, likewise, there's no automated saw machine, all right? So in other words, they got to saw everything, but it's done manually, okay? Woods are heavy, so they built furnitures, houses, and so on. In order to do so, okay, while they're doing so, they already attained, okay, his muscle. They did not have to pay, okay, to go to gym, like many of us do so. So let me say that Jesus grew in stature physically. What about you? Paying to go to the gym. Okay, number three. Okay, Jesus grew favor with men. In other words, socially, he able to relate with others. In my experience, okay, in the working place those days, in the factory, I realized that many who are technical people, they are very good in their techniques in technical sense. All right, and they start where they are for years. Okay, and because they're only dealing, okay, with machines. But I could see that those who rise to their position are those who can relate to others, where they can manage, okay, others, and they ended up manage, okay, the whole department or the company itself. Now, for Jesus in becoming human, Jesus able to relate, okay, of course, okay, able to relate with every other human. He did not, like, choose to go to the monastery, hiding somewhere for years, okay, before becoming, okay, or do his ministry. Okay, the very fact is that, okay, when Jesus able to mixed socially. We all walks of people, okay? The sick, the healthy, okay? The poor, the sinners, the tax collector, the teachers, the widow, and so on and so on. Because one day, okay, as Jesus grew up, he knew that he's going to lay down his life for every one, okay, of them. So my question to all of you is, how are you growing, okay, in favor, okay, with men, okay, in your workplace, in public, okay, in your home? Or you always find yourself arguing, okay, fighting, debating what is right and what is wrong, or who is right and who is wrong. Number four, okay, Jesus grew in favor with God, okay, spiritually. Now, I don't believe that Jesus shortcut whatever experience that he's supposed to have while he's on earth, okay, but he knew God the Father, okay, better than any other human. Now, just now I did mention that every single Jewish boy, as they grew, they are taught to the strictest, okay, rules, okay, before age 12. Okay, their ability to recite, their ability to memorize, okay, over the five books of Torah by heart, because that is their holy scriptures. And Jesus' life, okay, when you look at the Bible, Jesus lived a life, entire life, just pleasing God the Father. So I want to ask every one of us, our childhood, do we want to grow in wisdom? Do we want to grow in stature like Jesus? Okay, favor with men and with God. Okay, we cannot say we favor with God and then we never favor with men. Okay, or favor with men and never with God. You know, there are two accounts in the Bible, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, and also in Matthew 17, talks about when the Matthew 3 was about Jesus having water baptism. And Matthew 17 about Jesus' transfiguration. That was the moment God the Father spoke. Okay, that says that this is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. At the mount where Jesus transfigured, God also said the same. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Wow, that is Jesus' childhood. As we talk about that, all of us need to assess, okay, our child, our growing up. When we say we want to grow up like Jesus, what does that mean? Would you want, okay, to grow like Jesus in wisdom, stature, favor with man, and favor with God? So with that, I want to close with this, okay, that is, when we read this now, I ask you to take notice. In verse 40, it was said that the child grew. You see the progression, all right? In verse 43, it was said, the boy Jesus. See, when he was a child, or when we are a child, total dependence on his parents. Okay, when we are a child. Verse 43, the boy Jesus. That means he has reached the age 12. That means little of independence. He is now full of energy, full of life, and able to be responsible, okay, for himself and others. When you come to verse 52, he's no longer a child, he's no longer a boy, but he's recognized as Jesus. So in verse 52, okay, that says, all right, the Jesus, okay, Jesus increased. So it's the name Jesus, okay, the name, okay, manhood. So be like Jesus, the man, okay, that God, okay, wants you to be. You know, I came to know this poem. I'd just like to read them, okay, as I close and we pray. All right, now, this is Dorothy Louise Law Noth, okay, American writer and family counselor. Okay, something that she wrote, probably all of us can ponder as well. All right, it says this: if children live with criticism, they learn to criticize others. If children live with hostility, they learn to fight. If children live with fear, they learn to be apprehensive. If children live with too much pity, they learn to feel sorry for themselves. If children live with ridicule, they learn to be too shy. If children live with jealousy, they learn to be envious. If children live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. If children live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If children live with tolerance, they learn patience. If children live with praise, they learn appreciation and how to praise others people's achievement. If children live with acceptance, they learn to love and accept others. If children live with approval, they learn to be like themselves. If children live with recognition, they learn it it is good to achieve goals and recognize accomplishment of others. It shouldn't live with sharing, they learn generosity. It shouldn't live with honesty, they learn truthfulness. If children live with fairness, they learn justice. If children live with kindness and consideration, they learn to respect others. If children live with security, they learn to have faith in themselves and trust in those around them. If children live with friendliness, they learn the world is a nice place to wish to live. A good amen. Let us pray. Father God, I want to commit all of us into your hands. I ask, oh God, Lord, that you know, as we think about our childhood, or every individual or parents alike, okay, probably some of us already certain age, probably we are just children, which regardless of where you are, I want to challenge all of us, okay, as we grow, okay, think about how we want to grow like Jesus. Of course, I want to encourage all of us, okay, to grow, okay, in wisdom, stature, in favor with men and with God. I commit all of us into your hands. Father, I pray, oh God, you know, each Christmas when we think about baby Jesus, you know, the nativity scene, sometimes our Christian lives were always like that, you know. Our Christian life is like, we are just like baby Jesus, never grow. Friends, I want to pray for each and every one of us that our Christian life, okay, our growth as a believer of Jesus grow. Okay, Jesus, a child Jesus grew. And then he became boy Jesus and became Jesus, be the man, okay, that God, okay, and woman, okay, that God has made you. Father, I commit all of us in your hands. May the blessing fall upon each and every one of us, even in this season of trying times. I give thanks. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone say, amen.